Who knows what we spoke on last week? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's exactly it. That's from Romans chapter 14, 17, which says the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Such is the kingdom of God. The righteousness, joy, and peace is the, I would say, the substance of the kingdom of God. That's the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. The power of the kingdom, or the source, is love. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the power of the kingdom is love. And, you know, some people would say that faith is the power. But really, when I started to look at it, because I started to think on that this week, is faith the power? But no, faith is actually just the conduit that the love comes into the world. And the love is the power of the kingdom of God, and faith is the conduit. And the substance of that all is the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. But when we look at Romans chapter 14, it's not just about that verse. We like to quote that verse because it's a good verse. It says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit is the kingdom of God. And that if you act in such a way, then you are approved by man and by God. But that's not the whole chapter. And some people would look at this verse and they see the beginning of it, and it says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. And because Paul talks about eating and drinking and saying, you know, if you don't eat or if you do eat or you do not judge others in regards to that, it's not just about eating and drinking. That's just the example that he uses in this case. But in all of it, we would have to say that God reigns in the kingdom. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter of Romans chapter 14 just in a little bit, because I do want to talk to you and show you how love is the power in that kingdom. And that if we do everything in love, then we are starting to act like we're supposed to. But how many of you would say, or just think in your minds, in the world today, in the church world today, there is one thing that is very negative that is prevalent in almost every single church that I've ever been in or that I've ever seen post. I try not to do the same thing here, but I can guarantee you it does happen. And in every single one of our lives, it happens. Do you know what that is? Judgment. Judgment. And we like to judge others. We judge others by what they wear. We judge others by the way they do their hair. We judge others by whether they're in style or not. We judge others by what we think their actions are. Notice how I said that. We don't know everyone's lives, so we don't know why they are doing what they are doing. But we like to judge everyone in regards to what they do. And especially if they do it in church. You know how I know that one? It's because of how many people, you all included, will come in here and say something like, well, I shouldn't do that in church. Well, if you shouldn't do that in church, guess what? You shouldn't do that out there. And if you do it out there, then why not do it in here? We like to judge people. We like to judge people in regards to their belief system. Whether what they are thinking is the same as what I think. We do this all the time. But I want you to turn to a specific chapter in the Bible which goes against all of this. Can you guess which one it is? Anybody? Which one? No. We're going to get to Romans 14, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we will read the entire chapter. So, when we talk about Romans 14, which we will get to later, the whole chapter is about judging others. And we look at God as the one who reigns in the kingdom. And we have a tendency to look at the fact that God is the judge of all and that we are his tools. So we might as well do the same. I would say that subliminally, that's what we do. That we take on God's role of judge and we start to place our feelings of what God judges into it. But we will find out throughout the course of this message that that's not the way it's supposed to be. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What that says is that if I speak at all, because if I'm talking normally, I'm speaking with the tongues of men. If I speak in my heavenly language, I'm speaking in the language of the angels. So if I speak at all and have not love, then in God's ears, it's a noisy cymbal. I wish I had one of those big cymbal things that you see in the marching bands that they did this. And I would just sit here and just continually do this. Because if you have not love, that's what it is in God's eyes. Wish Mike was here so he could laugh at me and all my antics, but that's okay. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries, and all knowledge. Now that's not picking on prophets. It's if I have any words of men or any words of heaven, which is what prophecy is. And I know all the mysteries. And I have all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. You can have all the faith in the world. You could be healing everyone. You could be giving them words of knowledge. You could be giving them words of prophecy. You could be having the faith to heal their inward being, their mind, everything. You could have faith to bring in absolutely anything they need to bring in what they need in this world. But if you do it without love, you are nothing. Love is the power of the kingdom. Let's continue. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, wow, that's a good thing to do, is it not? To give everything away. Jesus said that to the young man, the young rich ruler. He said, "What do you need?" What the rich young ruler said, "What do I need to do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know all the commandments. Do those." He says, "I've done them all." Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Give all your possessions. Sell everything that you have. Give to the poor. And follow me." And the young man walked away because he was rich. He had a lot of stuff. Even if he would have given all his possessions away and did not have love. And if I surrender my body to be a martyr, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. You know, through the course of the past few years, we've had a lot of people in the faith, in the churches, who have stood up to be martyrs. Martyrs against a system that we all have agreed, at least in the West, that it probably was wrong. And I'm not saying that they were wrong in standing up, but did they have love in doing it? That's the question. It's not what they did. It's did they have love? So when they stood up and they fought against the system, did they do it in love? And I don't have the answer to that, so I can't tell you. But if they didn't, then they're nothing. But if I stand up here and preach, and I do not have love, then I'm absolutely nothing. But if you sit there and listen and have not love, then you are nothing. You see how this works? Love is the power of the kingdom. In fact, love is the only thing that keeps you in the kingdom. So what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but love rejoices with the truth. Let's just ponder those words. We all have failed in our love. We have all done something in that list that says at that moment we were acting not in love. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. This one is tough for me, because I don't understand what it means. What does it mean that love bears all things? What does it mean that love believes all things? Question here is, do you believe all things? Let me rephrase that. Do you believe all things that are true? How do we know it's true? Well, I would say that it's here.